Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sound Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sound Guy with you. Real fast before we jump into today's special edition of the show. If you're looking for some wrestling, WCWO happening tonight in Indianapolis, Indiana. There is also the Tracy Smothers Benefit Show happening, and that is in Seversville, Tennessee tonight. Also tomorrow, you have BWF in Appomattox, Virginia, and you can find me in Marysville, Washington for Combat Pro Wrestling. And today, we are celebrating 10 years on the air. QT and I celebrating our 10th anniversary here on the airways with the Turnbuckle Turmoil Network. It started a decade ago with QT and JD Vokes launching Turnbuckle Turmoil. We've made it a decade. QT, what do you think about a decade so far?
Yes, it was about a decade ago that I was walking in Monroe, Washington with JD Vokes, and he asked me, we've got to start a podcast. And so I agreed, and he said, what are we going to call this podcast? My first one, first suggestion was Tulalip Championship Turnbuckle Wrestling or something like that. It had it was very much influenced by Tulalip Championship Wrestling. JD suggested the name Turnbuckle Turmoil to shorten it up. Now, I would like to thank JD Vokes for this starting this 10-year voyage. He is no longer with the broadcast. Like rock people, like Pete Best of the Beatles, they kind of, drop out for various reasons. But the shout-out for the creation goes to J.D. Vokes, who originally suggested it. Now, I have taken a look at some of our archives, and it was on 6/27/2010, that began, April, March, June 27th, and I believe we had our first 200 listeners for the show. Next, so the Turnbuckle Turmoil makes way for HPW's Swing Guy. So I know we got 200 listens there. And we've had several huge amount of listens on some of our broadcasts. And most of them involve the powerhouse princess, Lila Large. I'd also like to give a shout out to her. And that is my introduction to the show. Yes, very good.
All right. Well, we are celebrating. We have some guests that hopefully will be popping by. And one of the guests with us already, he will be at the aforementioned Combat Pro Wrestling show tomorrow night. He is all the way from Alaska. Y period, T period, Jones, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, and, congratulations on the 10 years that you guys have been on the air. I thoroughly enjoy every interview that you guys do, especially when you do it with me personally, so keep doing what you're doing.
We appreciate that very much. We always are happy to have you, and I believe we have one of our other guests with us. Do we have our guest from Portland with us?
Yes.
Well, Patty Dietz of Blue Collar Wrestling, I want to thank you for being here with us, our 10-year anniversary show. You've been with us many times on this very program over the decade we've been on the air. We're always bringing people from Blue Collar on the show. We want to thank you for your support. Y period, T period, of course. Thank you for your support.
Always.
Patty,
thank you for all you do.
Oh, you're welcome. We're happy to do what we can. Patty, I'm sure you have a favorite moment over the years on Turnbuckle Turmoil, be it a show you've been on, one you've heard. Can you tell us your favorite moment thus far on Turnbuckle Turmoil?
Just to be able to hear of all the wrestlers that you interview and give everybody the same chance and are always fair just makes me feel good because I have my heart. I give my heart into the wrestlers because they do so much to put on a fantastic show for everybody, and people don't realize how much you guys encourage them to put on a good show by interviewing them.
We appreciate that. And we have been joined by someone that is no stranger at all to this program. She's been on many, many times, and she will be appearing at the show we mentioned, the BWF in Appomattox, Virginia, tomorrow. Casey Carlisle, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining the anniversary celebration.
Hi, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on again. I'm glad I could be part of it.
Well, I will ask you the same thing I asked Patty from Blue Collar. You've been on here many, many times. You may have heard a show or two. Can you tell us your favorite moment that you can recall over the 10 years of Turnbuckle Turmoil?
Oh, wow. They've all been really fun, and they've all been really good. And I don't mean to, I don't mean to potentially bring down the mood or, kind of bring a sadness or a cloud over anything, but I really, really enjoyed the tribute show that we did just a few months ago for Dale. You know, that was really cool, and it was a lot of fun to hear everybody coming together and remembering him and sharing stories. And even though it was a sad reason, I just thought it was a really, enjoyable kind of time.
I definitely agree. The Dale Pierce tribute was sad, but at the same time, kind of uplifting for everybody that took part in that.
Yeah, he was just such a great guy and, such an asset to the business of pro wrestling who, is not going to be replaced. And it was such a huge loss for everybody involved. And I just thought it was really nice to have so many people who wouldn't necessarily normally be brought together, to come together and be sharing memories and stories. So all of the shows have always been very fun and very lighthearted and cool, and they are, but that one to me just felt very memorable and had a different feel to it.
Tell me exactly what happened on July 14th.
Well, why period, T period, you've also been on many, many times, and I know that you probably have a favorite memory or two of the show over the last 10 years we've been doing it, even though you aren't 10 years into the business yourself.
Well, for me personally, I just like to get to know all the other wrestlers that come on, and hear their stories on how they get started, how long they've been, getting to know their characters and stuff like that. And you guys give them the platform that they need to do that. So I, that's what I thoroughly enjoy. I can't pinpoint like one or two moments. Collectively, I enjoy them all because I get to know these people that I normally wouldn't even know who they are.
Fair enough. Well, Casey, you've been on many times starting, I believe, our second year, so going back to 2011, you've made numerous. Wrestling has changed a lot in the last 10 years, and I'm sure you've noticed a lot of changes within the industry itself. Since you first came on to our program until right here today, what do you think has been some of the biggest changes just within the industry itself?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought-provoking question. I think, I think even though 10 years ago, obviously, the internet was around and was a thing, I think the internet continuously has an influence, whether it be positive or negative, on the business as a whole. How it's approached, how it's looked at, both amongst wrestling fans and the casual fan and, you know, not wrestling fans who just see little things. But I also think it's changed in the sense that there's been a lot of fluidity with the just the feel of the business overall. There's been a lot more opportunity that's opened up over the decade for certain niches or certain groups of people. Like, obviously, the women's movement is what everybody focuses on the past couple of years. That's been the big thing, with bringing attention to women in a more positive, I don't like using the word equal necessarily, but looking at women in a different light other than just being the kind of special attraction that we've always been promoted as being. But I think it's also given a lot of room for people to just be able to be more creative with their careers and with themselves and be more true to who they are and present themselves in a way that's more authentic and therefore gets over better and gives such a diversity to wrestling that hasn't always necessarily been there. You know, we've gone through phases of having the big the real pure wrestlers way back in the day, and then it morphed into the jacked up musclehead type guys in the 80s, and then the 90s was all about, you know, pushing the envelope and controversial, the later part of the 90s especially. And now it just seems like there's not really any one demographic that's ruling the business or that you see having a monopoly. It's so diverse, and there's something out there for everyone to enjoy on every show. And I just think that, you know, that's probably going to continue. I don't think that's a trend. I think we're seeing the business evolve to just be more inclusive and letting people just, you know, be them true selves and doing it through wrestling and their persona in wrestling more.
I call them Vin and Curtis.
The local outfit with resources.
Call 503-287-5000.
Mango, are you there?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
You gotta be quiet.
You might be experiencing difficulties with some guy on his end, but Casey and Mikey, thank you for showing up, and Patty, thank you for showing up.
No, you're welcome.
Hey, not a problem at all.
Now,
of
why
course.
Casey, DEVO stands for De-Evolution, the band's part satirical, serious take on social and political corruption, bigotry, increasing dependence and consumerism, and willful surrender of freedoms among the common individual. The Latin word for de-evolution is devolutio, which means to roll down or fall to. My question is, in the 10 years since Turnbuckle Turmoil has been on the show, in your opinion, have we evolved or de-evolutionate or devoed?
from what I've heard of the show and what I know of it, I think that I think the show has evolved. I think you evolved. I think it's just kind of been a whether it be intentional or not, I think it's just naturally happened. I think that the show has continued to morph and evolve as far as, you know, the people that are guests on here and, the topics that are brought up and your presence and your contributions and so forth. But, you know, I definitely think there's been an evolvement. What do you think?
Well, I think if you listen to our first couple shows, we were slightly hesitant. It's been a learning process for me. I'm certainly much more comfortable, and I can tell pretty. If you worked about 9 3/4 years with someone, you can pretty much tell what they're going to say and when they're going to come in. You know, I'd like to ask Patty herself if she thinks we have de-evolutionized or evolved to a higher standard over the years.
Oh, I would say it's evolved. You're always staying on top of everything and bringing out the actual fascination that people have with the wrestling shows. Our fans have improved like 100% from what they were 6 years ago when I started in. Our average is 170 to 210 a night. So people are getting more involved again, and probably some of your podcasts has a lot to do with it because you interview the wrestlers and ask them what they think.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Well, Casey, you are pictured weekly on the Sign of the Times. Where's Sign Guy? Comes to you from various undisclosed Washington locations. Many of your large title belts are on display. Are there any truths to the rumors that you are going to give a replica model belt made of the highest grade aluminum foil to Patty and Y period to Siri themselves?
To Patty, just I don't know if Patty wants one of those high quality aluminum replicas. I mean, Patty, if you do, I'm sure we can make it happen. I have some Sharpies that are becoming really cool colors these days. We could make that really something.
You know what? That would be awesome. I've got a football from him that I still have. He gave it to me several years ago, and it's in my craft room. Up on a shelf. So I have a couple replica belts here myself that I inherited through wrestlers that needed me to hold them for a while because they needed some financing, and some of them didn't want them back. So I am a collector. I go clear back to when I was 11 years old when the wrestling was at the Armory. So I'd be more than honored.
Can you guys hear me now?
Do you have any aluminum titles currently in that collection?
No, I don't. But you know what? There's a first time for everything.
I wouldn't even know how to go about creating one, but I'm sure if I'm sick on the couch one day, I can put something together.
I bet you could. You have the talent.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know. I'm a wrestler for a reason. I don't know if arts and crafts is up. But, you know, I could always turn on, you know, HGTV or something. I'm sure that they would have something that would inspire me.
Well, maybe. Even a picture of you on one is good.
There we go. We'll go with that old school, which the NWA brought back. They have the women's photo on the title now.
Awesome. Awesome.
That was very cool.
I'm definitely old school.
Oh, absolutely. That's all I know. QT, we've sabotaged the show from you, my friend.
Well, that's fine. That's okay. Why period, P period, sprinkle, sprinkle, how much would it mean if you got a replica all aluminum belt from Casey Carlisle?
You know, it would honestly mean the world to me, you know, because I think having one of those would be freaking awesome. As long as it's not one of those stale fruit pies that you like to give everybody, I'll be cool with it.
Come on. Can you guys hear me now?
Oh, yes.
Hey.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about the technical issues. It wouldn't be a 10-year anniversary show without a technical difficulty, though, would it?
True story.
Well, I did a little bit of research about some of our more listened to shows, and I came up with some of these statistics. On August 7th, 2012, in the episode of The Lounge, we had 659 listens to date. On 5/4/12, Jesse Bell Smothers has garnered to date 586 listens. And I opened up the show with a small shout out to the powerhouse princess, Lila Lodge, on 11/19/2010. On one of her many shows, to date, she has received 399 listens. Troy Miller, on October 7th, 2011, he's up to 566 listens. But one of my all-time favorites, 3/22/12, when we interviewed Talkwave the Robot, we only have 48 listens. I mean, I'm just saying that if we could get Talkwave the Robot and Y period T period Jones on the same broadcast, I think that would be huge. Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't see why not. Y period T period, are you familiar with Shockwave?
I'm not, but we can make it happen.
I'm going to give you the homework assignment. Usually it's QT that does it. Look up Shockwave the Robot.
Okay.
Yes.
I was in a match with him one time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How did you do?
How did that go?
Oh, it went. It was, I'm trying to remember who else was, it was a, I want to say it was a six-man tag, but it could have just been a regular. I want to say it was a six-man, though, but I know that I teamed with Mr. Ooh La La, and I feel like a jerk because I brought it up and I can't remember the other people involved, but Ooh La La and I were on the team together, and Shockwave and somebody else was on the other team. But yeah, that happened in New Jersey. It was either New Jersey or Delaware. It was for ECWA. But that was back in 2000, I want to say maybe 2012 or 11. It was quite a while ago.
That sounds about right. Now, did Shockwave hit the patented Shockwave kiss on you?
Not that I remember. It's possible that he did, and I just can't, I mean, I can't even remember the poor other people in the match, much less what happened during it. I just know my team lost. That's vivid. But I honestly don't think he did.
He may have tried, though.
He might have tried. I feel like he would have short-circuited had that happened. Just saying.
Couldn't blame him for that.
Just saying.
Now, Patty, we always have plugged Blue Collar since Blue Collar's very first show. And over the years, of course, I've worked for Blue Collar Wrestling, and QT has been at countless Blue Collar Wrestling shows. Sometimes you guys will be kind enough to indulge us if we have an announcement to make or something of that nature. Of all the media forms that Blue Collar has, seemingly we would be the longest lasting media forum that Blue Collar Wrestling is associated with. What do you think is the secret to our success?
I think it's because you guys are so open and you give everybody a chance rather than just holding yourself to one certain type of person or one certain type of wrestler. And you just let everybody say what they want to say and explicitly, you know, introduce themselves. And I don't know, you guys are just there. You're just it. I always enjoy you when you're there. QT, he's always got something cute to do. You're just always there. I can't say anything negative about you guys because you've always been there. It's just, you're just a stand-up type group.
I believe the terminology that some people would have would be, we don't put up with any shenanigans despite all the heat that sometimes comes our way. There's been a little bit of that over the years, but thankfully not too much. On Y period, T period, I believe I am correct, and definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we were your very first ever interview, were we not?
Yes, yes, you guys were. You guys were my very first interview. I was nervous as hell, but, you know, we got through it just fine.
That we did. What do you think it was that we were able to land Y period T period Jones's very first interview?
Just the way you guys approached me about it and, you know, you explained to me a little bit more about it, because prior to this, I had never even, like, been on, like I said, I had never been on one, didn't even know what the format was or anything like that. But, you know, you guys kind of made it a smooth transition, and, you know, I really appreciate that.
And we definitely appreciate you over the years being with us whenever you've graced us. Now, Casey, you've been on many, many, many different shows. We definitely weren't your first, but you've appeared many times. You've got several interviews under your belt with us. What do you think it is that makes us still attract you to do our show to this very day? What have we done right so far?
I think, you know, part of it is just that it's a very kind of easygoing, conversational type show. It's not the typical, you know, strict interview style where the wrestler or whoever your guest is gets asked kind of the same questions, you know, same standard questions that are par for most interviews or podcasts or anything like that. You know, because it gets a little stale and you end up providing the same answer and it becomes very robotic. So I think that's a big part of it, is that you guys are more of just a conversational kind of show and kind of podcast, and you do more interesting features or different features, and you change it up a little bit.
Now, Casey, you also have the designation that not everybody does. And you're definitely the only one besides QT and myself that can say this that's here today. But you co-hosted an episode. You went to the other side of the equation, and you helped us interview Tom Rocky Stone. What was the experience like stepping into a whole different role for you at that point and being the interviewer?
Oh, that was a ton of fun. I was such a humongous, huge fan of his when I was a kid. He was like, he was the guy I always looked for when I was watching, you know, like Superstars or Challenge or something. He was always my favorite job guy. And, you know, not to say that in a negative way, because he was so much more than that. He had, you know, such a career that people really aren't aware of or weren't privy to. He became known as just kind of being that job guy, but there was so much more to him. And it was so cool. I had a lot of fun. I was actually, I remember being just a little bit nervous about it because I just didn't want to come off sounding like an asshole or anything like that, you know, like with this guy. But it was so much fun. I really enjoyed it, and I'm hoping that he did too. He didn't seem to try to rush off the phone, so I think it went okay.
He definitely seemed to enjoy it from what I recall, and it seemed like you were a natural at that.
Oh, well, thank you. It's wrestling. If we're talking about wrestling, it's not necessarily a job for me at that point. If the topic is professional wrestling, especially going back to talking about, you know, the 80s and so forth, which was his heyday, the 70s, the 80s, you know, that's, to me, that's just normal. That's just regular life. If we were talking about something else, it would be a whole different story.
Y period, T period, you were not in the business when I went up to Alaska, but we were involved with one of the previous promotions up there, and we had several people from Alaska over the years on the show. Not a lot of the Alaska wrestlers get to do interviews like this. They don't get onto the shows like this just because not a lot of people outside of Alaska know about them. We've had several people, past and present, from the Alaska wrestling scene on the show. What do you think a show like this does for pro wrestling in Alaska when they're able to come here and talk about themselves, talk about wrestling, when there's not a lot of opportunities necessarily for those guys?
Well, I think that it's a great opportunity for all of the Alaska guys to get on here, because not only does it let the world know, hey, we exist, we live here, you know, there is wrestling here, but it gets their character out there, you know, it gets potential fans to become their fans, you know, and, you know, the ones that do take advantage of it, they're getting the attention that they need and deserve.
Very well. Patty, a blue collar, like you said, you go back to Don Owens. You've been around way before you even bought into blue collar wrestling. But like I said, we've been kind of linked to blue collar wrestling over the years. You essentially are the boss for all of the people there at blue collar wrestling. And I know we get a lot of those guys on the show. What do you think it means for the people of blue collar wrestling when they get opportunities, not only on just our show, but sometimes we help them find interviews with other shows to try to get word out there? Do you think that's been beneficial to your business in the last 10 years?
Yes, I do. And I think it also gives the wrestlers a little more, I don't want to use the word confidence, but I was trying to think of another word. I noticed a change in their attitude and how they work and everything when they know that people recognize them. I've heard comments now, some of my wrestlers are noticed when they go to other places. Oh, I saw you on TV, or, you know, things like that. Or I heard you had an interview. I think that the wrestling people, or the wrestlers, I should say, have come a lot farther in the last 6 years. There's more noticeability about regular, you know, wrestling without having to be on WWE or any of those bigger companies like that. The littler companies are getting more recognition. And so I think it's been good.
Well, there's one thing that anyone that has ever appeared on this show knows, and in 10 years, people listening to the show should know this. At some point, you're going to have a very interesting question come from QT if you've been a guest on the show. DC, you've been on, I believe, more than anyone here today.
Oh, my God.
Think of the most interesting thing QT Vokes has asked you.
The most interesting thing? No, because he asks me questions all the time when he's down here at the show.
That's fair enough. You're probably right.
Always.
Casey Carlisle, do you have a QT question that stands out?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I'm sitting here trying to think of one that sticks out exactly, and I can't.
Didn't we ask you a question about Donald Trump and transgender in the wrestling ring?
That rings a faint bell.
You were drinking heavily at the time, I think.
Yeah, that does ring a bell. Yeah, that does ring a bell, actually. I'm not good at remembering, you know, like, details and stuff like that anymore. Too many shots to the head. But yes, that absolutely, I remember that. That was a long time ago.
QT probably relives it every night, though.
Well, I don't know about every night.
Maybe.
Okay, the weirdest question that he ever asked me, and it still stands out to this day, he asked me, had I seen Brody Adams standing in the kiddie end of the pool in some G-strings?
Had you?
Yeah, it totally blew me out of the water. Like, wait, what?
Maybe I was the one drinking heavily that day.
Yeah, I think maybe. You probably were, because I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I've never seen that. I don't want to witness that. I couldn't imagine Brody Adams in a kiddie pool in the first place, it much less with some G-strings on. Like, no, not happening.
Oh, okay.
Well, obviously, in all our years of interviewing people, we've come up with some very interesting characters. We discussed Shockwave a little bit earlier. He might have been the most interesting challenge that we've had. But due to technical difficulties or due to people not really wanting to be on the show necessarily, or due to people having just a bad day in general, we've had some challenging ones. You guys may or may not have been on ones you consider challenging. Casey, do you have a memory of anything that we have done that seemed like it was a particularly tough day at the office for us?
Not really, not for you guys. I know that there was one or two times when I was on as a guest and my connection wasn't great. And I know that my call got dropped a few times. I would believe I was driving somewhere. But other than that, no, there's nothing that really sticks out or anything as far as when I've been on with you guys.
Y period, T period, yet? Remember anything that seemed like there's a bit of a challenge?
No, anytime you guys have had me call in, it's always been very smooth. You know, the connection's been good. You know, everything's, I have no complaints about it. There's no rough day at the office with you guys with me.
You've picked some really good days to be on this show, let me tell you.
Yeah. I do everything. Yeah, I have strategic plans.
Patty, I know you know about rough days at the office, just being a promoter. Have you ever experienced anything or heard anything from us that may have been a little more of a challenge than normal for us?
No, not really. I mean, the little misconnection today was about the worst that I've ever known it to be, and that was nothing. QT took right over for you till you got your technical thing straightened out, so that's about it. It's always been real good.
I like how you were very assured and confident that QT took right over for us and didn't consider it a challenge.
He's his own talent.
Yeah, he is.
Yep.
Well, we've had a lot of special shows here on Turnbuckle Turmoil over the 10 years. We've done a lot of tributes, like Casey was talking about with Dale. We've done lots of those for various people. We've done tributes to different territories that no longer exist. We've done tributes to different time periods in wrestling. We've done promotional shows just to preview specific events and specific promotions that we're starting. We've done a lot of the specialized shows in the years that we've been on. Casey, I believe you've been on a few of those, definitely the Dale Pierce tribute. I believe you did one when there was going to be a match in Kansas that ended up not happening, but we had started the promotion for it before that got next.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a part of a kind of a specialized show like that we do, does that give like a different sort of feel when you're on the air, or does it kind of blend in with just a standard interview in your eyes?
No, I wouldn't say it blends in. I think that might be why the Dale tribute show stuck out to me. You know, because it's still the format, the concept is still basically the same as far as what's happening. But when the subject matter is a tribute to somebody or centered around one topic rather than the usual kind of myriad of things that might come up or questions that might come up. I think it just gives it a different feel.
Now, Patty, you've done a few of these shows for us too, where we've had like specific topics and we've brought on multiple guests to cover whatever topic. What do you think of the specialized shows that we do rather than when it's just you and us on the show?
Well, anytime you do something special, it's always great. It's good to honor people. There has been so many, just in the last year and a half, so many people that have passed on that need that recognition, and you guys gave it to them. Always the subjects have been good. I can't complain about anything that you guys have done.
Y period, T period, you were just on the manager show that we did a few months ago. So you got experience in the kind of specialized shows. What do you think of doing something like that where it's round table with us as opposed to being one-on-one?
I think that that'd be a good idea to do that. You know, again, you get to know, you know, your constituents, you know, everybody around that you're going to potentially be working with or working for. You know, I think that that would be a great thing. And I really did appreciate the fact that you guys did a whole manager's, you know, a manager's thing. I would like to see, you guys do one with all the actual owners and stuff, and, you know, so I can get to know them and hear what they have to say and, you know, what they're all about and potentially start looking for some of these people as well, so.
Well, guys, I know that Casey's time with this needs to wrap up here. She had other obligations, so Casey, thank you very much for today and for every single time you've been on the show. And if you want to plug or promote anything as you're signing off, please feel free.
Oh, well, of course, it's my pleasure for coming on, and thank you for having me. I'm glad that I could join you guys. I wish it could be longer. But congratulations on 10 years. It's definitely awesome, and here's to another 10 for sure. As far as me plugging stuff, it's basically what I always tell people is if they spell my name correctly and Google it, they can find me. I have a Facebook profile page as well as a fan page. My website is CaseyCarlisle.com, where people can get some merchandise, see some videos and photos of past events. I just added some new 8x10s on there for sale recently, and I'm going to be offering a limited time sale on one or two other photos. I'm going to throw one out for my Halloween photo shoot last October, the lumberjack photo shoot, and then the other little outdoor photo shoot I did. So that's constantly evolving and changing and having some new content. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, you know, and I always promote my shows so people can keep up with me and see where I'll be. And hopefully if I'm going to be in their area, they're going to be there to check it out.
Absolutely, and hopefully you get back to this area at some point in the not-so-distant future.
Yes, hopefully so. I'm hoping that can work itself out and happen at some point this year.
Hopefully there's a promoter listening to that.
I am listening. I was going to comment.
That wasn't exactly subtle.
No, that's been on our mind anyhow, so... once again, it's my booker that usually checks things out. So we're trying to get more action with the women in here because they seem to like that. So
people liking women's action? The action of women? No.
Well, you know,
we're talking
in the
about
Owens,
wrestling.
Right. In the Owens era, it was always the midgets, and that has went more or less by the wayside. I mean, everybody still likes it, but they always ask for more women wrestlers. So I will have him check in with you.
Well, I like to hear that for sure. Well, thank you. And again, thank you so much for having me on, guys, and congratulations on the 10 years. And, you know, I hope the rest of the show goes well for you. I'll be checking it out later on.
All right. Thank you very much, Casey, and thanks for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it.
my pleasure. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care.
Bye, Casey. Bye,
you
Casey.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, QT, did you have some more questions that you wanted to ask?
Yes. Well, when Casey comes back and listens to this broadcast, I'd like to point out to her that on November 11th, 2012, 2 days, the Casey Carlisle Comes Back to Turnbuckle Turmoil has 1,245 listens. And on the January 29th, 2013 show, Casey Carlisle Returns to the Lounge has 351 listens. So between those two shows, Casey, you have 1,596 listens. Yes.
Awesome.
Good. And I'd also like to ask Sign Guy a question. Sign Guy, when Casey came out here, we had a contest, and we put this up on our show site. Can you guess how many cups of coffee Casey Carlisle drank on her trip to Washington? Can you tell Patty, UYT, who the winner of that contest was and how many cups of coffee she drank?
My wife won that particular contest, and I believe the total was 23 over 3 days.
Wow.
Okay. Well, Patty, J.D. Moonshine, he had an interview with us on September 9th, 2012, and to date, that has 791 listens. Now, both Sign Guy and myself have paid very close attention to the Moonshiner split, especially Paul Moonshine, as he has evolved into Pa Freakshow. In fact, the only person that Pa Freakshine seems to remain loyal to is his cousin, Casey Carlisle, who remains an official Moonshiner. Can you tell us up-to-date information about this split that is so enamored right now in BCW folklore? Yeah.
Well, if I could understand you totally right, the split was more from a challenge. He lost a match that left Pa go where they confiscated him, just like Rockefeller Foundation has taken over our female champion right now, Miss Sarah. So I can't say a lot. I don't know where it's going. I will say Pa is more of an active manager with them. He seems to interfere in the matches a lot more. I don't know exactly what you want from me, other than that he's no longer with JB, and JB is a little bit lost without him, I would say, sometimes. Doesn't understand fully why it happened, so.
I see.
Is that what you guys were looking for? Because you were cutting in and out. I didn't get it all.
Oh, yes, that's pretty much what we were looking for. But, Patty, do you think it's been our interviews with Pa Moonshine on Turnbuckle Turmoil or the split with his family that has drove him to increased alcohol consumption out of the moonshine jug?
Well, I would say so, yes. I mean,
oh, okay.
I think JB's 200 proof plus.
Oh, okay. But on a slightly more serious note, YT, I have looked at your accomplishments in what you have done up there in Alaska, and I would like to give a serious shout-out to you. My question is, are there any rookies really new to the Alaskan scene that you might want us to have an interview with that you think shows very good potential and is worthy of a team booking interview?
Well, there's actually three or four new rookies that I think when they do make their debuts that you guys should be the first people that get to interview them. We have a rookie by the name of Bryson Axel. He's the only Filipino wrestler up here in Alaska right now, so he's about to do some good things. We have Moxie Rose, You know, she's an up-and-coming female wrestler. We need more of those. And she's right now, she's the only female training right now with the guys. So she's another one that I feel that should get interviewed. You also have we have a rookie by the name of Dylan Weaver that I think that when he actually gets going and makes his debut, that you guys should also interview this guy too. All of those people have something. Oh, one more, and I can't forget one of my all-time favorites. He just started like 3-4 months ago, but he's coming along very fast, and that is Derek Divine, the Reverend Derek Divine. Once you get a load of this guy, I promise you, you're going to want to ask him a lot of questions. He's one of those guys that you're going to have fun with in the interview.
Wow. So it's Bryson Axel, Moxie Rose, Dylan Weaver, and Eric Devine.
Theric Devine. It's a TH. It's almost like Eric, but it's Theric.
Okay. And you're saying this Moxie Rose has a lot of moxie.
Oh yes, she does, and she's got a mean clothesline. Once you see this clothesline in person or on video, you're gonna be like, Jesus Christ, she just took that guy's head off. She has no fear whatsoever.
Whoa, I think she might have Mickey Knuckles-like quality, and Sign Guy himself can testify to the power of Mickey Knuckles. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
It really hurts. It really, really hurts.
With a name like that, I'm pretty sure it does hurt.
Oh, okay. I've got to go down the hill to my shoot job, and I will call back in if the show is still going. I still have more questions. Yeah. I will be off
all
the
right.
air. 7.5 minutes. Thank you. Yes. Back to you, Sunday.
All right, QT. Now, Y period, T period. Obviously, you travel quite a bit. You're all over Washington as well as working in Alaska. So you know there's a lot of great talent out there. You talked about some of the Alaskan talent that we're going to have to keep an eye on and bring on the show at some point soon. When you look at the landscape of other places you've been, I know there's a lot of good young talent out there. Who would you say are some of the people that we are going to have to take a closer look at and bring on the show before too long?
I'm going to say I really do like all the guys from Real Talk, like the Real Talk clique. They crack me up. Rashad Tyson and them and Cody, they all crack me up, man. They're some up and comers that I think should be on the show if they haven't been already. Hell, there's even referee Evelyn. Interview her. She's pretty cool. I think that she would be pretty cool to get interviewed. There's just so many that I think should get on, but those are the ones that really pop out. You know, including CJ. If you've never had CJ Edwards, I think CJ Edwards would be a good interview as well. He's got some mileage on him. So,
shockingly enough, we have never had CJ.
Oh, I think
that surprises me.
Man.
Surprises me
yeah.
too. He was scheduled once or twice, and then it never logistically worked out. But I'm gonna have to see if I can change that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe even do like one of those live interviews when you're at the same show. You know what I mean? Just pull them to the side and ask them some questions, whatever.
We have not done that in a while, but that is a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, Patty, you got the best seat in the house every Sunday night. You see a lot of you see the young talent coming in there. I don't always recognize guys that should be on the show until much later that they should be on the show. From your perspective, who do you think are some young guys on there we should be keeping tabs on?
Well, Caleb Brex is the thoroughbred. That's one to keep on. He was a football player in high school, had lost lots of weight and went into wrestling, and he was a quick picker-upper. We have like 8 new people training right now. I haven't been able to make it to a training because I have other commitments on Monday right now for the next month and a half. There's just so many out there anymore. We have two girls in training also, or two women, I should say. There's just a lot going on out there right now. We've had a lot of talent come in. To let you know, we're going to do a veterans match on March 15th, which I can't tell you exactly how it's going to go, but it's going to include Cowboy Tex Thompson, Lone Star, Top Gun, and C.W. Bergstrom. So that will be coming up on our March 15th show. So that's old talent, but it's a veteran match, so it should be pretty good. We have got a lot of talent coming in clear through June. So.
And you have to work on that Casey Carlisle return.
Exactly. I will have to talk to my booker, of course, and we'll have to work something out because she's been on my mind a lot lately anyhow. You know how sometimes that goes and you just don't make the connection as soon as you want to. And that's, I was glad she was on because that's something that's been on my mind. So.
Mine too, and it looks like we've been joined by yet another co-host here on Turnbuckle Turmoil, someone that we couldn't do the show without. Dimitri, are you with us?
Yes, I am. What's up, everybody? How you doing?
Oh, Dimitri, my favorite voice, man. What's going on with you, man?
Not much, boy. The weather is cold, the wind is strong, but there was no way I was going to miss calling in on the 10th anniversary. 10 years of Turnbuckle
right.
Turmoil on air. I still remember the first time listening to the first episode and in even being invited on by JD himself at a PCW event. It's been a crazy ride and the opportunities that I got to meet and the people I got to meet just for being here with Turnbuckle Turmoil. It was a definite blessing, and I'm glad to be here.
Gee, can you believe it's been a decade?
Man, time flew by super fast. I didn't even realize it was, to me, it wasn't even that long. It's still a short time, and it just happened really fast. Next thing you know,
yeah.
I'm looking at the numbers on the show, and I'm like, holy, whoa. 10 years, I'm looking at the first date. I'm like, January 31st? Whoa.
Right.
We asked everybody this earlier. What is your favorite memory of the show in the last 10 years?
When I had the pleasure to interview Jim Chadwick.
Gentleman Jim, yeah. Member of the Hall of Fame here on Turnbuckle.
That was a cool time with him. I mean, there's been a lot of awesome moments on the show.
For sure. We've had a lot of people that were either getting started or sometimes on rare occasions they hadn't even started their wrestling journey. They were still fans of the business, and they went on to do great, great things. We've had a lot of people, Y period, T period included, that had their very first interview ever with us. There's been a lot of talent that are veterans that have been around for decades, going back to the 60s and 70s, that did one of their very few interviews with us. We've been very, very, very lucky in that respect. We've had a lot of people on, and when we've had a lot of people on, that means QT's asked some strange things. What do you think the strangest question anyone ever got out of QT was?
The strangest question he asked anybody?
Yes.
Ooh, man, that's a wide range of just select and narrow down to one.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Man, 'cause he talks with everybody, and that's another thing why I always talk about and I tell people as I'm getting them to know about Turnbuckle Turmoil and I let them know about the show. I'm like, hey, this is a cool show because you get to meet the guys that's making it on their way on the roads and the journey of wrestling. So you get that chance to hear whether it's that upstart rookie or the vet that's been down the road and still grinding on the road. You get a chance to hear everybody. And like I said, you get that chance to call in and ask questions for yourself. It's always a fun moment But like I said, going to back to QP, nah, that, I cannot pinpoint one question.
We'll call them all a tie.
Okay, because there's been some reactions we get from people that I know, like I said, you can hear, if I hear them, and sometimes I wish I could see the face, their face, some of the questions they ask. Because sometimes you get that the awkward pause, sometimes you get the laugh, and they'll roll through. But I would just love to see the initial reaction on their face after the question is asked.
QT, are you back?
Yes, and to comment on Dimitri, I'm just following CNN's examples of the questions they ask politicians. Yes.
Most definitely, brother.
And to Dee's point, Brian Blair still doesn't return our call.
Yes, I am still on my quest to get B. Brian Blair front-of-the-line privileges, especially in soup lines. Yes.
Well, guys, Patty, one of the things I wanted to do today was make our announcement of the 2020 Hall of Fame. We started the Hall of Fame several years ago. We induct one person into the Hall of Fame each year. The qualifications are someone that has been on our particular show at least one time, if that has contributed greatly to the wrestling business in a variety of ways. The list includes Aaron Bolo, who was forced into retirement due to injury. He was our first inductee. The late gentleman Jim Chadwick, Marcus James, Troy Miller, Brian Klass, Cameron Starr, Princess Victoria. And we are pleased to make the announcement here today that our 2020 inductee, someone that I spoke to earlier today and accepted the nod, Kevin Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan is the Turnbuckle Turmoil 2020 Hall of Fame inductee. So he's going into the Hall of Fame. He will be receiving the plaque that we have made in just a few weeks. Done deal, 2020, it's Kevin Sullivan. That's a pretty huge Hall of Fame inductee, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. Yes.
Now, Patty, you've actually had Kevin Sullivan work for you on a couple occasions. You know he can still go, and he's still got that great, great mind of his.
Oh, yes, and very good person with seminars also.
He absolutely is.
Yeah.
Patty, I believe you might have a record. It's unofficial, but I believe you have this. I believe your company, Blue Collar Wrestling, has seen more of our Hall of Famers on your shows than any other promotion. I believe at least three of the people we've put into our Hall of Fame has appeared at Blue Collar Wrestling.
Correct.
Well, there we got a record.
Very good.
And why period, T period? I don't know if you're familiar with all of our Hall of Famers. You may not be, but our Hall of Fame a little bit different than a lot of the Hall of Fames out there today. Ours, of course, not as well known as a lot of them, but it's out there, and the people that we induct seem to appreciate it. You're not that far into the journey, but imagine a few years from now, a Y period T period Jones Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, yeah, that would be an honor. You know, like you said, I haven't been too far in my journey yet, so I'm, you know, not looking to be in the Hall of Fame yet, but someday, you know, when I fully deserve it and, you know, get the recognition and all that good stuff, that would be an honor.
Another thing I wanted to make sure we made mention of today, and it's a little bit more of a somber note, but over the years, of course, we've had guests on our show that are no longer with us. We've had a number of people that we've interviewed that passed away, sometimes not too long after doing an interview. Sometimes it was a few years after they were last on our show, but still we wanted to make mention of them and on the list that our guests that are no longer with us, Lee Peek, Terry Sims, Marianne McCullough, Rob Kincaid, Dale Pierce, and Joey Kidman. We definitely wanted to take a moment to mention those people that are no longer with us and thank them for being on the show and helping us out when they did. And also, don't mean to leave her out, also the late, great Moondog Fifi on that list. So we've lost a few people over the years, but we were glad to have them. And, of course, one of the other ones, very instrumental, very early on. He was an early guest on our show in the first year, Sir Oliver Humperdinck, who not only did our show, was one of the first really big name people to be on our show. He went out of his way and called from a Major League Baseball game. He found a quiet enough spot to do the interview and took time out of enjoying the game to call and do the interview because he had promised before he knew he was going to get tickets to do so, kept his word. I never forgot that. So Sir Oliver Humperdinck, who had passed away not that long after that interview, we definitely want to remember him as well. Dee, we've lost a few, but every single one of those people, great interviews. It was great to have them, right?
Most definitely. I was honored to speak to them.
Absolutely. Now, QT, did you have some more questions?
Well, I was going to, I thought you weren't are going to overlook look, Sir Oliver Humperdinck. He was a big fan of jazz, and I managed to get in a couple of jazz questions. So I think he thought our interview was slightly refreshing and slightly off the beaten track, which was my goal all along. Yes.
Absolutely. We did ask him some jazz-related questions, and he seemed to enjoy that.
I'd also like to point out to Y period, T period Jones, on our Hall of Fame, maybe in the future you might get inducted, and if so, I will personally take you to a store that makes fresh donuts and no hint of staleness in the products.
That would mean so much to me. That would warm my heart if that happened.
My question is, you claim that I gave you a stale fruit pie. Did you slip the stale fruit pie to one of your wrestlers to use as a foreign object?
And you know me so well, that's exactly what I did. That is exactly what I did. You gave me my weapon of choice.
Okay. Well, now on your next trip to Portland, hopefully you can come to Patty's home plate. Here's another question. Patty, how is the business going, and did you decide to move?
The old business closed November 30th. I am at a new location trying to help a guy get his restaurant started on Killingsworth. So it's going slow.
Okay. Well, maybe with YT does visit Blue Collar in the near future. He can have a Patty's milkshake on me. I'll break open my wallet. Yes.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Paul Preston and Sarah Irene are always down every Sunday before they wrestle to my restaurant. So anybody that comes down to wrestle, welcome to come in and have something to eat. So I'll have to have him get a hold of my booker too, so we can work it in when he comes down through Washington, that he can come down and wrestle for us also.
Now,
Patty, nice. That'd be nice.
In the future, you might have a wrestler named Warrior Kid Zandy on your card. Dimitri, Can you tell us about the progress of Warrior Kid Zay?
Well, right now, like say, he's just training for competitions, and this is the year he decided that he's going to try to compete more grappling tournaments besides this in Oregon and Washington. So he's hoping to go to Vegas this year, and he's also mapping out some other stuff. And then after that, he's wanting to see what's going to happen with the pro wrestling, but he's just been focusing on the jiu-jitsu and his kickboxing.
There you go. Very good.
Yeah, you let Warrior Kid Zay know that if he needs a manager, you let him know that a pimp is waiting for him to sign those contracts, you know?
Most definitely. He's probably listening in on his phone or computer at home.
Well, are all of you going to Vegas this year for the convention?
I'm going to try to.
Awesome. I will be there.
So I would like to go. Okay, I'd like to go to one of those. They seem really
very
fun.
Good. They are. They're very interesting, too. And, you know, you've got like 3.5-4 hours of free wrestling 2 nights in a row in a memorabilia room with a lot of wrestlers' pictures, everything in there. It's very interesting. And good seminars.
That's good. I love seminars. So if they're doing those, then I'm definitely going. So.
All right.
Now, Patty, you
well,
put
see
me
you
in
there.
A pretty big conflict at the CAC one time. You had Team Blue Collar versus Team Circle City, which was managed by the Dice Man Ronnie Vegas. You put me in a little bit of a conflict there.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I work for Blue Collar Wrestling, but Team Dice Man, that's who brought me into the business.
Well, that makes it interesting then, doesn't it?
Makes it interesting for you. I was conflicted.
You know what? It doesn't seem to matter what you do. You do a good job anyhow.
I agree. He does a really good job.
Yes. Always glad to have him. And, of course, QT, when he sneaks in, he always sneaks in.
Yeah.
My wallet.
You need to redouble security then.
Oh, maybe. I think we're always glad to have him, too. He adds some spark to the night, especially with all his signs.
Oh, my God. He kills me with his R. Kelly sign. Have you seen his R. Kelly signs? They are ridiculous.
Yes. Lots of them.
Oh, my God. He said, like, I was cutting a promo one day, and he held this sign up, and I literally stopped in the middle of my promo. I was like, what the hell?
Well, he gave me one of those stale pies one time, too, but I couldn't find anybody to pass it off to, I guess.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I was starting to feel really offended about it. I'm like, maybe it was just me.
No, I couldn't find anybody that wanted it because they knew who it came from.
Yeah. That's why
I hold your football so dear to my heart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Well, guys, I think we're getting kind of close to the end here for today on our 10th anniversary show. But if there's anything you guys want to plug and promote, we're definitely going to give you the chance for that. Patty, anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote, go right ahead.
Just that we've got a lot of talent coming in. I think the One Vets match on March 15th is going to be awesome. It's not a very often chance you can get 4 vets in the ring at one time at the ages they are now. So it should be interesting. I want to congratulate you on your 10 years and just know you're welcome anytime. Thank you for letting me in on this.
Absolutely. I believe you have a restaurant whose address people might want to know.
Oh, it's 1218 North Killingsworth.
It's right before
the entrance to the freeway.
Y period T period right ahead.
Yes. I have an event coming up tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, with CTW at the Red Carton Foundation for the Arts. Then May 9th will be I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. The 29th of this month will be Northwest Pro at the Civic Center, at the Key Peninsula Civic Center. And then Saturday, May 9th here in Alaska at the Civic Center, we will be having Wrestle Pro Alaska. And also March 13th, NSA Wrestling is back in action as well at the Palmer Train Depot Station.
All right. Dee, anything you want to say here on the 10th anniversary show?
All right. First of all, I'd like to say, if you, anybody can, check out my son, Warrior Kid Zay, on Instagram, Facebook, same as his name, Warrior Kid Zay. You can check me out at Ring Announcer Demetrio Turnbuckle Turmoil on Facebook. And then I shall be with you and Y, period, T, period, Jones at CPW tomorrow. So it looks like there's going to be some wild wrestling excitement happening for there for sure. And always, as usual, thanks for everybody who come aboard on this journey and this wild ride. May we have much more to go, and always support independent wrestling.
All right, Ben. Thank you for always having us on.
Absolutely. 2T, anything you want to add?
Well, I'd like to thank our guests for coming on the show. It's inspiring words from you that keep us going. Yes.
Absolutely. I want to thank Y.T. Jones, whom I will see tomorrow. Patty, thank you very much. Casey Carlisle,
you're
whom
welcome.
I love, thank you for being on today. And anyone that has ever been on this show in the last 10 years, thank you. You keep us doing what we do. Thank you to all the promoters, all of the talent, all of the fans that have kept us going, that have supported us, that have been on the show, have spread the word about the show. We appreciate it greatly. Thank you to all the Hall of Famers we have, including this year's inductee, Kevin Sullivan, and all the ones we lost. Thank you very much for helping us out as well, and you're definitely missed down here. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Rico de la Vega scheduled on the show today, and then 1 week from today, we will be back with you with Stepstool Sarah, ring announcer out of the Southeast. I think you're going to enjoy her. So make plans to be with us, and we will see you guys soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.